So you spent about 8,700 hours in 2019 so far. You've got about 60 left. And we spent about 52 hours of those in here. Some of us have spent more, some have less. On average, you've spent about 2,500 hours sleeping. Moms with babies divide that in half. On average, you spend about 400 hours eating. Babies multiply that by three. And then you have work, school, and all the other things that make up our lives that equal the remainder. We talked earlier this year about time, how time is a strange thing. We use clocks and calendars to measure it, but no one knows exactly what it is. Moving clocks run more slowly than stationary ones do. This becomes more pronounced as they approach light speed. A clock moves more slowly depending on gravity, so you would live longer if you lived on the top of a skyscraper than the bottom, but don't move to the top of a skyscraper because you'd live about a billionth of a second longer. But longer nonetheless. So time is a weird thing, and we experience time differently depending on what we're doing. Sleeping, being bored, enjoying a movie. During emergencies, people experience time moving slowly, but it doesn't really slow down. Their perception of it does. But time is what we call our lives. We measure our lives with clocks and calendars, and we spent almost another year of our lives in what we call 2019. And it's common at this time of year to do life reflection, leading to attempts at course correction, otherwise known as New Year's resolutions. And New Year's resolutions are where we resolve to do things differently or better than last year. And they're infamous for not lasting much longer than Valentine's Day or mid-February. However, regular life reflection leading to ongoing course correction is a really important part of life, or should be. As a local body of Christ, what we do each week in worship is hearing from the Word and interacting with the Holy Spirit one another. We do spiritual reflection based on the gospel, not just based on our own thoughts, but based on the gospel that leads to regular life redirection. And so this worshiping life together allows us to live life out of the ditches and to live life on the good path. And without this ongoing correction from God's Word and God's people and God's Spirit, the book of Hebrews teaches and life confirms that we tend to live life from ditch to ditch or just in the ditch, not staying on the well-lived path. And so we should be resolved to continually do spiritual reflection and life course correction. And many of us do that through daily time, reading the Bible and praying, weekly worship, and then times getting together with other people in between that just for encouragement. These things are super important. And in 2020, we're going to spend the year immersed in the wisdom of Christ as revealed in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs has 31 chapters. Conveniently, you can read through a chapter in some months, but you can read through most of it every month. And we're going to hopefully read through the book 12 times together as a church. And if you're in a small group, we're going to provide this tool. This is just the book of Proverbs in one book, but it's got blank pages apart from the text. So you can keep this all year, read through it monthly, take down notes, because the sermons will be on Proverbs, small group will be on Proverbs. Proverbs is one of three what's called wisdom books in the Old Testament. The other two are Job and Ecclesiastes. And together these three form a cohesive unit, and they're designed to give us ongoing course correction. Proverbs is easy to read. We think you can sort of read through it very quickly, but it's designed to read through reflectively because you can read it and go, I got that. And you go, wait a minute, did that say what I thought it said? It's designed to do regular reflection. So Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job work together to form a balanced picture of what wisdom is. And so let's spend a few minutes today looking at Ecclesiastes. We're going to spend the whole year looking at Proverbs. And the main speaker of the book of Ecclesiastes goes by the name Teacher. And he is this confused wise man who concludes, shockingly, that life is meaningless. In fact, he said it's utterly meaningless. And he reaches this conclusion because he thought the world works like this. Do good, good happens. Do bad, bad happens. You find the folks in Job thinking the same thing. Be wise, think you prosper. Don't be foolish, you don't. And then he looks around and he says, but I observed in my meaningless life, that's how he described his life, There is a righteous person perishing in his righteousness, and there's a wicked person living long in his evil. Somebody's serenading us with the... Got it? Oh, that's okay. It's good background. You know, I did a revival in the West Indies, and it was a time in my life. It was Ernest and myself, and Ernest and I have done a lot of these together, where mostly Caucasian and Ernest. And this was a time when I was the only Caucasian there. And sometimes when I was speaking, they would serenade, you know, put some music on the side, and I wasn't used to it. It was kind of shocking and distracting, but that was helpful. Thank you. So there's really two voices heard in the book. One is the wise man of the teacher, who uses common thinking patterns like good happens to the good and bad happens to the bad. And he becomes a cynic when this is not how life works. Life is not this simple. And the other voice is the author, and the author is the one who's discussing the wise man's confused thoughts. And so we find the author's voice in the first and the last chapters. So the author introduces the teacher, the confused teacher, and then he tells what the teacher is thinking, and then he concludes and he evaluates the teacher. So when you read Ecclesiastes, it can be a little confusing, but there's the author talking about the teacher. And the teacher is this confused wise person who believes life is very simple and is confused and becomes cynical when it's not. But the author then says, but here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commands. This is the whole purpose of humanity. So the teacher wasn't always wrong. Much of what he observed was true to life. The problem was his conclusions related to his observations. You see, he started with a faulty premise. His premise was life is simple. Do good, good happens. Do bad, bad happens. He came to faulty conclusions about his observations because he observed that's not what's going on out there, because life is not that simple. But we have all three wisdom books together to give us a more complex view of humanity. But beyond that, we have the Gospels. We have the whole story. We now know that Christ is the wisdom of God. More on that shortly. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. This is a passage made famous by the rock group The Byrds in 1965. Turn, Turn, Turn was a song. Now, I doubt many people who listened to that song and enjoyed it in 1965 knew the background of the words they were enjoying. Maybe half of them were on acid. But even the ones who weren't probably didn't know the words that they were enjoying. Let me read it to you. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Scattering stones is what you did to an enemy's fields to make them unharvestable. This is about relationship. A time to embrace, a time to refrain. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So there's 14 areas of life using polar opposites: birth, death, war, peace. This is not prescriptive. In other words, he's not saying, okay, go out and love sometime and hate sometimes. Go to war sometime, go to peace sometimes. This is an observation. This is what human time looks like. Life looks like this. And his point is, we can't make sense out of it. If you look at verse 9, what do people get from all of their life's work? So what does a worker gain from his toil? This is a rhetorical question. And if you've followed along up to that point, you would know that the answer is nothing, absolutely nothing. And he goes on to describe our situation as humans, or our burden, from his perspective. Verse 10, I've seen the burden God has laid on men. Okay, what is this burden? And here it is. First, God has a plan. He has a purpose in all this. He's made everything beautiful in His time. And then we have this built-in sense of expectation. We look for design. We look for purpose. It's hardwired into us. He set eternity in the hearts of men and women. But we don't really have the ability to know what God is up to. Yet we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So he concludes it's meaningless. Because you see the problem? He says there's lots of confusing, conflicting stuff going on. All this life, death, war, peace. God knows what he's up to. He has purpose. He makes everything beautiful in his time. He hardwired us to look for purpose. and we can't find it. And so he concludes that life is meaningless, vain. But the book ends with the author evaluating this confused wise teacher and saying, no, that's not how it ends. Our purpose is to obey God, meaning trust Him, even when you don't understand. And so let's evaluate 2019 and then look to 2020 through a different lens. First of all, let's put ourselves in the place of this confused, wise teacher who's looking around and saying, how do we make sense of this? I know I've been built for purpose, but I can't make sense of this. So look back on the year and around the globe. Lots of confusing stuff has happened. In our own lives, confusing stuff has happened. God knows what He's doing. It all fits together. There's meaning in it, ultimately. He designed us to look for meaning. It's built into us. You know it. I know it. He's put eternity in our hearts. Yet, as we look around, we can't make sense out of it. I mean, the good are dying young. The young are dying. The bad are living long and prospering. Wise choices don't always pay off. Bad choices seem like they're prospering. What's going on? Where's purpose? Is it all random? No. The Bible is a single book with many chapters, and we have the full story. We have the gospel. We have the good news of Jesus. We can move from Ecclesiastes to 1 Corinthians. Christ is the wisdom and power of God. And we've been given this, the gospel lens to see all of life, all of the Ecclesiastes 3 stuff from God's perspective. The gospel is like Hubble telescope. It's out in space, so it escapes the haze of the atmosphere. We can see deeper and more clearly. We can see through the confusion of our world into the deep purposes of God. We don't see every detail, but we have enough perspective to live with faithful hope. So let me give you some perspective-altering verses, just three of them. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So you are dearly loved. Because of Christ, you know that God is trustworthy, even when all else is confusing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, this sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up the Bible. So our purposes are all tied up in the purposes of God. You never lack purpose in your life. Whatever the circumstances of your life, whether it's a job that feels menial or a hospital bed, you never lack purpose as a believer. You can know and love God and make God's love known. So whatever else you resolve in 2020, resolve this. Engage in weekly, daily, and more often than that, reflection and course correction to stay on this good and wise path. Because again, this is not about perfection. This is about direction. We need ongoing course correction. That's how we stay out of the ditch of confusion and despair and doubt. That's how we escape the ditch of meaninglessness and extreme loneliness. Your heart is hardwired for meaning. Eternity is built into everyone. God is eternal. Your heart was made for Him. But we need regular, daily, weekly, more than daily, redirection. We can't understand all the what's and whys of life, but we can stay on track. We know that life is wrought with purpose. I'll give you one more verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. This is the gospel answer to the confused, wise teacher of Ecclesiastes. This is not naive optimism. This is not some cheesy false promise of looking and finding immediate happy outcome in every problem. This is about the final promise of the gospel. In spite of all of life's imperfections, suffering, adversity, God's plans for His children prevail, working for our ultimate good and His kingdom. So now, be found faithful. Do what's in front of you to do, endure what's in front of you to endure, enjoy what's in front of you to endure, and do this with faith and faithfulness. So let's stay out of the ditches. Now, we're gonna veer some, but we don't have to veer from ditch to ditch. We can stay on the good path. It's going to take the using the resources of God, God's people, God's Word, and God's Spirit. We're going to take just a couple of minutes to pray together, and here's how I'd like to do it. Probably about 2 or 3 minutes. If you're with friends or family and you want to, you can kind of group up and you can pray out loud together. If you just want to be left alone and pray, you can do that. But we're just going to pray, and feel free to pray out loud with your friends or family. And then the band's going to come up and lead us in some more worship. So let's pray, and then let's worship together. If you need to move around, feel free to move around.